Back in 1958, the Lake of the Ozarks, where I was for 42 years at Kirkwood Lodge, the Lake of the Ozarks had their 50th anniversary. It was around 1980, I think, somewhere in there. And this song came out at the same time as they were having their anniversary. It's called Welcome to the Lake of the Ozarks.
Lake of the Ozarks, this is where the good times begin. Never hit two couple, got a promenade.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Take on the Lake with Lake Expo. I'm Nathan Bechtold, and we've got a pretty cool guest on the show with a pretty cool topic today. On the show, we've got John Flippo. John and his wife Shelley own Flipback, which is in Osage Beach next to Randy's. You've probably seen that place. The logo has kind of a cool spirally thing on the logo, and it's a clothing resale shop, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. And John has an interesting background at the lake too. His dad, John, shared something on Facebook recently that I saw or heard, and you got a little glimpse of it there with the episode open. And I contacted him and said, okay, man, you have to come on the show and we have to talk about your dad. But before we do that, I want to talk about John. So, John, thanks for coming on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And tell us a little about your background at the lake. Just before we turned the mic on, you said that you were not born at the lake, but you were born. You and I have some common roots.
Yeah, I was born in Abilene, Texas, West Texas. And my folks own Kirkwood Lodge, which is about a 70-unit resort built in the 40s, I think. And they started working there in the early 60s.
So I didn't even realize that. Your dad was Marshall.
Yes.
What was your mom's name?
Nisa.
Nisa, okay.
Yeah.
So they owned Kirkwood Lodge.
Yeah.
So how did you end up in Texas?
Well, my folks are from Texas.
Oh, okay.
So they got hired on at Kirkwood to be an entertainment director. My dad did. And
because he was a musician.
Oh, well, he's a square dance caller. He's not a musician, but a square dance. Him and his friends took up square dancing, and they needed somebody to call the dances, so they took turns, and it ended up he was really good at it.
Yeah.
So he started calling in the 50s, and then he got hired on at Kirkwood as an entertainment director.
Okay.
So it spent half the year in Texas, half the year in Missouri.
Oh.
So the lodge would open in mid-April, close in mid-October, and then he would tour the country. He had dates, so he'd go East Coast for 3 months, and then come home for Christmas, and then go to the West Coast for three months, calling square dances.
Wow.
And I would start school here, and then transfer mid-October to Texas, and then transfer back to end school.
Okay.
So it was interesting. It was fun while I was in elementary school, but as I got older, it got kind of
a little semi-nomadic.
Yeah. So my mom, forever grateful that my mom, when I was a senior in Camden, she let me spend a whole year here, so I didn't have to transfer.
That's cool. That's cool. Okay, yeah. So Abilene, Texas, was where you were born, though, because you're basically they were like split in time between Missouri and the rest of the world.
I was born in June, but my mom, both my parents, proud Texans, and they my mom wanted me to have Texas on my birth certificate, so she stayed in Texas until I was born.
Sounds
and
like
then
a Texan.
Came
actually.
Back up here.
Yeah, as a native Texan, I can say that sounds like something a Texan would do.
Yeah.
Totally. I was born in Corpus Christi area and then grew up mostly in San Antonio area. Yeah. So yeah, cool. Well, that's cool to have a common root there, and we both have common roots with parents actually that kind of cut their teeth or sort of were at the lake, have roots at the lake, and then were native Texans. So I didn't even realize that until we started talking a little bit because my dad grew up here. My grandparents, great-grandparents were here and stuff. And then, I ended up being born in Texas and then coming back to the lake. So
yeah.
Cool common roots. So tell me a little about Flipback and about your kind of life at the lake and your story a little bit.
Oh, boy. Well, I always worked off and on at Kirkwood when I was a kid. Took a year off from high school after I graduated. Took a year off traveling with my dad, kind of just all over the country, kind of drove, set up his equipment for him, did his laundry. Then I got a degree from Central Missouri State, criminal justice, which I never used. Started bartending while I was in school. Worked all over the lake doing that. And then we opened up Flipback in 2012. And I've been at it for 13 years now. This is a resale clothing store. My mom used to volunteer for a church thrift store in Abilene. So when we'd go visit her, she'd always take us there and we'd go shopping. And that's kind of where my wife got the idea of, We could maybe do something like that. Because we bartended together at, I don't know if you remember, City Grill Blue Room.
Uh-huh.
We managed a nightclub there.
Okay.
So we did that for 10 years, and then we both just getting pretty worn out, burn out of bartending.
Sure. Yeah, that's a grind.
So I kind of started this, and it's done really well for us.
Cool. Great. So talk about your dad a little bit then, because like you said, do you know how he got into square dance calling?
Yeah, well, I was saying, he started with some, just, you know, back in the 50s, square dancing was big, you know, and they kind of started as a hobby, and he got to be where he was good at calling. So he started, he recorded a song called The Auctioneer. You know, they take country songs or show tunes, whatever, and make a square dance out of it and write a figure to it. And he got to where he recorded a song called The Auctioneer, and it sold, I mean, back in the day, it sold 45s, and he sold something like 1 million copies of it.
Oh,
so
wow.
He got really big in the square dance community. If you know a square dancer, chances are they've heard of my dad.
Oh, wow.
And he would be at Kirkwood. He was the entertainment director. We had high school seniors come in for a month, and he would kind of, he would play rock music, but also he would teach about a square dance. Then we'd do a square dancing for about a month. And then we was on American plan, so we had people come in for just regular families on vacation that would come year after year after year. And then we'd have, I think, 8 or 9 more square dancing weeks to finish it out in October. And then he'd hit the road doing one-night stands, calling all over the country. And Kirkwood was an older resort, but it was a great place to grow up. And he was just, you know, he called there, and then some weekends he would go out, but he's a square dancing, you know. And when I was a kid, you know, in elementary school, they'd ask you, what does your dad do? We'd go around the room, and I'm like, well, my dad's a square dance caller. You're like, well, no, that's probably his hobby, but that's all he did. He was a square dance caller.
And made a living at it.
Yeah.
Took care of family and all that. Man, that is so cool. Does anybody even... Are there any square dance callers around?
Locally.
I'm not in that scene right now.
So. Well, it's it's a fading, I guess, activity. Yeah, it was the heyday was the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s. Kirkwood was, we would be, you know, have waiting list on the weeks to get in. But it's, you know, once that group got older, that nobody, the kids didn't really come behind and pick it up. It takes a while. You can't just walk into a square dance. You have to take lessons.
I've been to like some rough, quick lessons before a square dance event and done just like a really small amount.
Right.
And that's how it was a blast, but that's all I have ever.
Yeah. And I never learned how, which people were shocked, but you know, it's my dad never really taught like a full club or lessons like that. So I never learned how. Just the easy stuff, like you were saying, like the PE stuff they teach in elementary school.
Do-si-do.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. So yeah, I don't know of any square dancing that happens around the lake. Is there some around here?
They used to back in the day at Kirkwood, and then they had some square dancing over at Millstone for a while.
Okay,
but there's still it's still an activity. Still square dance scholars. Still a lot of good friends that I met through the years. And it's not near as popular as it used to be.
Now it's you could almost say that the modern version of that is like the line dance, right? Because everybody it's like that's the evolution of that. Everybody there's like certain steps, and everybody kind of rotates. I think we should just punt the line dances and go back to square dance.
Yeah,
cool. It's amazing. And man, when I listen to. And we're going to play the audio of the, in our intro to this episode, we played your dad's explaining the song that he wrote. And we're going to play that song to play us out at the end of the episode here. But I'm always so amazed with there's a lot of terminology and there's a lot of things to do in a square dance song. And I think, man, that is quite a skill to have just the dancer. I mean, much less the caller who's calling it, but the dancers to hear the next call and immediately move into that. I never learned how to do that. And I always think that's so remarkable. It's funny that was such a big trend that it was sold out. There was a waiting list to get in.
I mean, Kirkwood, we get people from Japan, Germany, all over the world. And it's weird. Even if they didn't speak the language, they knew the square dance terminology.
Oh, that's
so they
funny.
Could be completely, you know, you watch them square dance, you think, oh, they can speak English.
Speak Japanese, but they know
they
the
would just know the
calls.
Terminology, but they couldn't talk to you at all. So that was, you know, pretty interesting.
That's fascinating, yeah.
And Dad had his own record companies, you know. I think he recorded a couple hundred 45s and then put out 15, 16 albums.
Wow.
Through the years, yeah.
That is prolific.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Do you do you like have all of them at home?
Oh, yeah,
I
got
all that's, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, that's cool. That's cool. I assume he's not still with us. Did he?
Died in 2018, 91 years old.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. What a cool legacy. We want to play that in just a moment, but any other kind of memories of dad and growing up and Kirkwood and traveling the country and all that kind of stuff that stand out to you? Because what a unique way to grow up, and what a unique career for a person.
Yeah, he was such a great dad. He would he loved to golf at Dogwood Hills, and he'd go out there 5 a.m. He couldn't stand playing behind people, so he had to be the first one off the tee. They'd leave a golf cart out for him. Get done, come back, eat breakfast, teach square dancing until noon, teach again in the afternoon. Then he'd come down, pull me skiing, help out in the dining room, square dance at night, go to an after party, get up and do it all again.
Wow.
And we skied right there, and, it's Backwater Jack's Cove.
Oh,
Kirkwood was right across the cove from Backwaters.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, Backwaters obviously wasn't there, but you could ski in the cove, go back, take off from the dock, let go at the dock.
Sure.
Just come barreling down the cove, doing 50 miles an hour, things you wouldn't even think about doing today.
A few people still do that, but they get yelled at when they.
It'd be a whole lot of yelling now if you tried that. Yeah.
Yeah, man, that's cool. I mean, and a lot of people have these kinds of memories of the lake quite a while back now. I mean, I'm not calling you old, but it's changed a lot. So that was another thing I wanted to ask you. As a person who grew up here and has seen the evolution of Lake of the Ozarks, I always like to ask people, what have you seen change over the years? I mean, there's so much, but.
Yeah, I've never mind the progress of the lake. I'd put this place up against anywhere in the world, really, in the summertime. But, the lake's just so much more crowded places to go. I mean, back in the day, maybe you could go to the Clown or the Barge for a burger, but that was it. And now there's so many places you can go and so many more people on there. But if you get on it at the right time, you can still kind of have it to yourself. If you go out in the early morning or late in the evening or late at night even. My buddy puts on a little music festival up at Boondocks at the 45-mile marker. In the fall, and we'd take the boat up there, and it you get done at midnight, 1 o'clock, and drive 30 miles back to where we live and never see another boat. And it's really neat. You can still get the lake to yourself, but it's a lot more crowded than it used to be.
No kidding. Yeah, it is funny though to see that, like, how people that come, especially just on busy holiday weekends and things, you hear complaints about how busy the lake has gotten. But you saw out here, our office has a view down here about the 16-mile marker so. And so much, even so much of the summer, I'll look out and I'm like, man, there's hardly anybody on the water still.
Yeah.
So much of it is timing, I think, And
yeah.
And so even just from a probability standpoint, it seems like, yeah, of course, the most likely time that people would come here would be when most of the people come here. So that's when it's like, oh, it's so crowded. It's like, yeah, it does. It gets very busy on those big weekends, or really any summer weekend. It's pretty busy. But man, summer weekdays, especially like before noon, gosh, there's hardly anything going on.
That's when we get out, and it's fun,
Yeah.
Still ski from time to time.
I was about to ask, you still water ski?
Yeah. Try to get out like once a week, but it's pretty ugly these days. Not near as good as they used to be. But
where's your place?
We're actually just truly right where Kirkwood was. We're across the street, we didn't go far.
Nice.
Second tier, but my wife's mom lives right down the road on the water, so we keep our boat down there in Backwaters Cove. And usually go to ski over in the state park, not far.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, there's a lot of great places over there too, when people want that kind of untouched lake.
Sure.
Just go under the Grand Glaze Bridge and cruise some miles of green shoreline. And there's some areas that people love to go cove out back in there for sure.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's a lot going on, but there's a lot of peacefulness you can find, I think, back in there.
Oh yeah.
Too.
Yeah. And you still find pretty decent water.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Places you like to go on the lake, like when you guys go out to eat. You were talking about the Clown and some of that from the olden days, but where do you guys find yourselves oftentimes now? You don't have to pick a favorite. But,
my college roommate was Gary Pruitt, who opened up Backwaters and Gator. And so we go there a lot. And I'm good friends with Mark Barrett, who has Dog Days and Shorty Pants.
Gotcha.
So those are probably my favorites, but we go all over. We took the Wave Runners out yesterday and went all the way down to the Gravel Arm, went to Hibbley Yacht Club.
Oh, nice.
And I had Taco Tuesday down there. And
That's a good ways up, isn't it? What? On the
it's a way at the end of the Gravel Arm.
Yeah, all the way.
Yeah, right next to Coconuts.
Okay, yeah. I've not checked that one off.
Yeah, it's a fun little bar. Yeah. And then, about once a month, we'll take them up towards Warsaw, go up, take the Wave Runners up there to about the 70 or so.
Oh, that's a good day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Spend the day just bar hopping and, having fun coming back, running around.
Nice. Yeah. There's so much to do. So that's.
Cool. I think somebody said there's like, I don't know how many bars and restaurants on the water these days, but it's a bunch.
Yeah. Yeah. You could spend all summer trying to hit all of them and think you'd get tired of it. So you wouldn't have to repeat many.
Yeah.
So great. Well, really, John, I appreciate, again, you sharing that audio of your dad. I think that, again, I was scrolling Facebook at work when I came across this and you shared this into a group and just said, look what I came across or something. And I thought, man, that encapsulates so much of a time that is gone, like you were saying, but that is so held dearly in people's hearts. It has this nostalgia and especially this Lake and Ozark's nostalgia. It's got, well, he recorded it with the Lee Mace Ozark Opry group, right?
Yeah. And so, I guess the Bank of the Ozarks, Central Bank, for their 50th year of being open or something, they made this record and put it out, I think, as souvenirs for people who bank there. Yeah, I played on the radio a lot. And Dad, he'd always have an ear if he thought something would make a good square dance. He would record the song as a square dance. And he really liked that song. And if he was up here, he would use Lee Mace's band to record it. And he was friends with Lee for years and years. Mm-hmm. Lee actually helped him and Carl Williams helped build the Kirkwood walls around helped kind of build the lodge back in the day when they were kids. Mm-hmm. So there was always a relationship there. And the guest at Kirkwood would always go see Lee Mace's Ozark Opry mm-hmm. while they were in town. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's what
there was just this core of people in that era of the Lake, 50s, 60s kind of thing, that there's these names that come up. You talk to almost anybody that knew anything about what was going on in those times, and there's a half dozen or so names that were just the people that really helped make the Lake what it was during that time that were so unique. Yeah, so you hear Lee Mace's name all the time. I'm learning about your dad a little bit. I hear the Walt Tietmeyer name a lot. And so it's just interesting to think back and hear the names of these people that are legends now. And but of course, you can still see Lee Mace's name in places around town occasionally and stuff. But they were such a core part of the Lake's kind of tourism scene.
The family resorts back then, Kirkwood, Calfran, Arrowhead Lodge. You don't see that much anymore. But and even like Tantera, when we were kids, we'd just get dropped off at Tantera, arcade, and mm-hmm. ice skating rink, and all kinds of stuff, and you just go that damn right, go karts and water slides and all that stuff. So it was good fun.
Yeah, those were good days. I feel like I caught the tail end of those days as I was growing up.
But. Yeah, it was definitely, I'm glad I grew up when I did, mm-hmm. But I don't mind the progress of the Lake, mm-hmm. What it is now, but it was a great time to grow up back then.
Yeah, great. Well, this song that we're going to sort of play out the episode with, like I said, I think it captures so well a kind of Ozark music, honestly. It captures, I love hearing that intro that your dad did. I loved just hearing his voice. And again, I didn't know him, but just, man, there's so much character that comes through, even just his short explanation.
Yeah, he was a legend. He much more articulate, much more funnier than I was. He's the funniest person I ever met. But he was great and beloved in the square dance community, or just with everybody. Never met anybody didn't like my dad. And for that, that intro, he recorded like a CD of like all of his best-selling square dance songs. So he did a little intro for each song, and I put it on a CD. And it was really neat, especially now to go back and listen to it.
I was going
to
say, I'm sure that's really special for you to be able to go back and pull those and listen to them. So we're going to close our episode today with with this square dance song that Marshall Flippo, the great square dance caller, put together. And John, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for being here.
I appreciate it a lot. That has been our Take on the Lake. Thanks for listening, y'all. Stay anchored, stay curious, and we'll see you soon.
It did pretty good. A lot of the callers just said, like if they call for the Circle Lake Club, they'd say, "Welcome to the Circle Lake Square Dance. We hope you're going to have a ball." Something like that. They'd change it, and so it went pretty decent. I got this song, recorded it down in the Ozarks with a band from Lee Mace's Ozark Opera. Opry, excuse me. So welcome to the Lake of the Ozarks.
Welcome to Lake of the Ozarks. Welcome to our special land of Ozark Green. Left Alaman that corner, Dibido Sabu. Left Alaman, you wanna weave that ring. Welcome to a land that's filled with Ozark music. You'll swing the partner promenade again. Welcome to Lake of the Ozarks. This is where the good times begin. Now the hip two couple got a promenade just halfway. Come down the middle and do the vinyl left through. Why don't you square through, go for it. Go walking by the floor. With the outside do you slide through and then go right left through. And the lady lead to a Dixie style boy sashay across. Then promenade that lady home again. Welcome to Lake of the Ozarks. This is where the good times begin. Now the hip two couples promenade just halfway. Come down the middle and do the right and left through. And now you square to go forward. Go walking down the floor. With the outside do you slide through. And then the right and left through. And the lady lead to a Dixie style boy sashay across. Then promenade that lady home again. Welcome to Lake of the Ozarks. This is where the good times begin. Circle L. Find yourself a lazy day and just go fishing. Sail away to freedom on a summer wind. Left Alaman that corner. Don't side up. Left Alaman, you wanna weave that ring. It's a special time and place and you're welcome. Swing the partner, then you'll promenade. It's an Ozark holiday that lasts forever. So put some good old Ozark good times in your plan. Why don't the sides promenade and get about halfway? Come into the middle and do the right and left through. Why don't you square to go forward? Go moving round the floor. With the outside do you slide through and then go right and left through. And the lady lead to a Dixie style boy sashay across. Then you promenade that lady home again. Welcome to Lake of the Ozarks. This is where the good times begin. Why don't the sides promenade and get about halfway? Come into the middle and do the right and left through. And now you swear to go forward. Go walking by the floor. With the outside through, you slide through. And then go right and left through. And the lady lead to a Dixie style boy sashay across. Then you promenade that lady home again. Welcome to Lake of the Ozarks. This is where the good times began. Circle L, ride the endless open waters to forever. There's a memory just waiting round the bend. Left Alaman that corner, do si do. Left Alaman, you wanna weave that ring. Take a quiet walk at midnight in the moonlight. You'll swing that gal around that promenade. There's a love song on the water you'll remember. It's perfect to an Ozark day. Yes, it's a perfect end to an Ozark day.